This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay area locations, and remember, the 2018 Hooters calendar signings are coming to many of the Tampa Bay locations. We'll give you the full schedule a little later, from Thursday, November 30th through Sunday, December the 3rd. Buy one for you, your friends on your Christmas list, or one for the troops, and we will send it overseas for you. Don't miss out. And for more information, go to originalhooters.com. My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I am recording this podcast with you on Friday evening, the Friday that follows the Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope you will understand that normally the Friday podcast posts earlier on Friday, but holidays tend to change people's schedules, and I am not immune to that. So this podcast being recorded on Friday night with a look ahead to all the Sunday and Monday action of the remaining games now that we are post all bye weeks in the National Football League, looking ahead to Week 12. I would imagine some, if not all of you, had some players going in the three Thursday games. We talked about that on the previous podcast, the fortunes of players in those three games. So let's look ahead first to the 7-1 o'clock games on Sunday and just give you some overall thoughts on players in those matchups. We'll start with Buccaneers at Atlanta. In this particular game, from a Tampa Bay standpoint, really can only make the case for Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson as plays here. With DeSean Jackson, you can probably do better, but he has been consistent enough to where if you've been playing him in your weekly lineup, he hasn't been disappointing you. Evans' target volume is still there. This isn't necessarily a great matchup for Evans or Jackson, but to sit them down, you need to have to sit Evans down with his target volume, you need to really have a better option to put him on the bench. From the Atlanta standpoint, Tevin Coleman, I think this is kind of a risky play, even against the Buccaneer defense. Coleman did very little with increased volume against the Seattle Seahawks on Monday night. Granted, the Seahawks offer much more resistance defensively than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. I just think this is a prime example of where a number two running back on a team doesn't necessarily produce a lot with increased volume when the number one guy goes down. Now, keep checking status on Devontae Freeman at this point. It doesn't look like Freeman is going to go in this particular game off the concussion a couple of weeks ago, but just check it before you make a final decision on Tevin Coleman. And if Freeman is cleared to go, you are definitely playing Freeman in the game. From a wide receiver standpoint, with Julio Jones, he is an obvious start. The problem is that Julio Jones just isn't scoring enough touchdowns to add to the yardage volume that you generally get from Jones. Meanwhile, Mohamed Sanu continues to be an underrated play on the Atlanta Falcons side of the football, and a pretty consistent one, as a matter of fact. Matt Ryan, as we go into Week 12, he's been a disappointment based on where many of you drafted him in season-long leagues. This is another potential big spot for Matt Ryan, but he hits in a week because in most quarterback matchups, you just push, and Matt's been doing a lot of that. In the Cleveland-Cincinnati game, there really isn't anybody worth talking about from a Cleveland standpoint. Again, if you're going to make me give you a comment on Cleveland running backs, I think Evan Silva's breakdown on Roto-World says it very well, that Duke Johnson is the better play over Isaiah Crowell, but you're only playing Duke Johnson if you really have no other choice. From a Cincinnati standpoint, it's pretty basic. This is a very bland team to analyze from a fantasy standpoint. Andy Dalton's numbers have been okay. This is a potential DFS streamer if it's someone you've picked up. With Aaron Rodgers out, he hasn't been hurting you. As far as A.J. Green, another guy that you're starting every week. In terms of Croft at the tight end position, I'm very lukewarm on that, but I understand it if that's who you have in that spot. And Joe Mixon, just sort of a season-long disappointment with a lot of volume at the running back position, and he's done very little with it. You can do better than start Joe Mixon at running back, but you should know that by now. Tennessee and Indianapolis as a 1 o'clock game. Extra rest for DeMarco Murray should help him for very frustrated DeMarco Murray owners who just don't know what to do with him. You get frustrated and bench him, and he goes off for 3 touchdowns, and you plug him back in the next week, and he barely gets you anything. This is a spot in season-long leagues where you do play DeMarco Murray. At this point, check status on Rishard Matthews because it doesn't look like he will play in this game. Delanie Walker would be in play as a tight end in this game. And Marcus Mariota owners probably feel the same way Matt Ryan owners do. And this is another spot where you're hoping for a big game from Mariota, but have you run out of patience for that and just hoping he gives you enough to give you a push at the quarterback position. From the Indy standpoint, Jacoby Brissett has been removed from the injury report. He should be good to go against a Titans defense that is pretty good against the run, although they don't stop opposing running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. This is another spot where Marlon Mack could make an impact, but the playing time just doesn't seem to be there, might not be there all season. We are to week 12 at this point. Might be about getting Gore to some thresholds and what could be the end of Frank Gore's career. And T.Y. Hilton should be the beneficiary of a lot of volume in a home spot against a pass against a defense like the Titans that gives up yardage through the air more than they do on the ground. The full throttle spot in recent weeks has been playing virtually anyone of fantasy significance against the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs are in that spot in a crossroads game for the Chiefs. If they are serious about being getting back in the mix as a contender in the AFC, this is a game they not only should win, they should win handily based on the way what's been going on in Buffalo the last 3 weeks. So in play, Alex Smith, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, albeit it's a home game for Hill. He's fared better on the road. And another potential what about September spot for Kareem Hunt, who just hasn't been the same since we turned the calendar to October. And definitely on into November. From a Buffalo standpoint, yeah, it's Tyrod Taylor, at least to start the game. It is. Some are suggesting this will be an angry Bills team, considering what happened with Nathan Peterman playing the first half last week and having nearly as many interceptions as he had completions, perhaps even some mumbling that some offensive linemen took a play or two off. Just because they didn't like the move to Peterman and thought Tyrod Taylor didn't deserve to be benched. I don't know necessarily if this all translates to Taylor being worth playing with Shady McCoy. He is still an RB1, but even last week was a perfect example of how McCoy's production is very uneven. In a blowout loss to the Chargers, McCoy had 2 big runs early to give you enough that justified McCoy playing in the game. And then after a Charles Clay drop, he caught his only pass of the game for a touchdown in garbage time. A number of fantasy experts I respect are real big on McCoy in this game because of the matchup against the Chiefs. I'm just not so sure that I would look at him as a definite RB1, more like an RB2, and where you just sort of worry about, because of how Buffalo's played the last 3 weeks, if this is going to be another dud game for McCoy, kind of like he did against the Jets a few weeks ago. Dolphins and New England, from Miami's standpoint, with Matt Moore at quarterback, the buzz around Matt Moore, and that's better than Cutler, where was this in the, 40-0 loss just a month ago to the Ravens? I don't get it. That said, I still think the volume Jarvis Landry gets does put him in play as a wide receiver, more of a, I think Landry's more honestly of a wide receiver three or a flex type play. Kenny Stills might be a nice DFS option or a waiver pickup if for whatever reason you're still looking for wideouts to give you big games. Again, I haven't touched the running back split between Drake and Williams. I think Drake is the better big play back, but clearly Adam Gase doesn't like big play running backs, or he wouldn't have traded Jay Ajayi away. From New England's standpoint, Brandon Cooks' numbers have gone up even more, not only as time has gone on with Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, but without Chris Hogan, who won't go again. Amendola had a nice blip up last week. You're looking for someone, maybe on the waiver wire or a DFS bargain play at the wide receiver position. Rex Burkhead had the fumble and a drop last week. He wasn't getting as many carries or as touches as Deion Lewis, who's still getting the short yardage work near the goal line. But apparently he can't rule Burkhead out. I wouldn't want to play him at this point until I know he's ahead of Deion Lewis on the depth chart, and James White is kind of off the board. Couple of bad games in a row for Gronk. It's a great matchup for Gronkowski, and unless something is wrong with him that we don't know about, this seems like a pretty good place, although I'd be careful to spend a lot of money on Gronk in this game. You might be better served elsewhere, but if you own him in a season-long league, you're obviously playing him. Carolina and New York. With the Panthers coming off the bye week, it's a real good spot for Cam Newton, especially in terms of what he can do on the ground in this game. Get you a rushing touchdown, maybe two rushing touchdowns in this game. Another game where you're looking at what is Devin Funchess going to do. We do have the likely return of Greg Olsen. How much will he be used? Remember, Olsen didn't produce as much at the end of last season. And before the injury this year, wasn't as productive. I'd be leery of investing a lot in Greg Olsen right away until we see more. And I still think Funchess is in a very good position in this game, as is McCaffrey catching passes out of the backfield. From the Jets' standpoint, there's really no one to like here. Carolina is an excellent matchup against the Jets, and I say that from a Carolina standpoint, and how it hurts the fantasy options of so many guys on the New York Jets. The last 1 o'clock game is the Bears at Philadelphia against the Eagles. We'll start with the Eagles. Certainly Carson Wentz. Bears have been playing some good defense, but doesn't seem to matter against Wentz. Zach Ertz, I'm a little cautious on whether or not he is healthy. You know, they sat him a couple of weeks ago, then the bye, then last week he played a lot of snaps. He didn't do a lot on offense. Maybe this is a wait-and-see game with Ertz before you're getting him back in the lineup if you have a better tight end option, or like the league I commission, your flex is a W/T, where if I sat Zach Ertz, I could play another wide receiver in that spot or a tight end in that spot. Again, noting Evan Silva's quality work on Roto-World, I like what Evan Silva said about the Eagles' backfield. From a season-long standpoint right now, if you're an owner of a Jaye or Blunt, or you picked up Corey Clement, it's hard to count on any of these guys because of the split in carries. It's something to stay away from if you can. While from a DFS standpoint, it lowers their price. And Clemens especially was a very good low price last week. Even Ajayi and Blount weren't that high priced. Tough matchup for Aguilar, revenge game for Alshon Jeffrey. From Chicago's standpoint, I guess this is a spot in season-long leagues where you're playing Jordan Howard, but I wouldn't buy him in DFS, and nothing else about the Bears here excites me. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. The 2018 Hooters Calendar Girls are taking over sunny Tampa Bay. Come meet them in person and get your calendar signed November 30th through December 3rd. On November 30th, three different signings, St. Pete and 4th Street, North Tampa and Brandon, Friday, December 1st, South Tampa, Channelside, and Hillsborough. Saturday, December 2nd, Spring Hill, Port Richey, Tyrone, and Clearwater. Sunday, December 3rd, Johns Pass and Clearwater Beach. For the specific times to go along with those dates of the Hooters Calendar Girl signings, visit originalhooters.com. I was actually in the Hooters closest to me on Hillsborough early today, having a Black Friday lunch. And talking a ton of fantasy football with Tony, who was the manager on duty. We discussed a ton of fantasy stuff, and Tony is familiar with my work for many years. Tony, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for your hospitality today. And, of course, Tony, I wasn't there for you. I was there because of Brooke, the calendar girl who works at the Hillsborough store. Brooke telling me she will not only be one of the girls signing calendars at the Hillsborough location on Friday, December 1st, but you will meet our fantasy football friend, Brooke, at the South Tampa location that day and the Channelside location as well. We call her a fantasy football friend because when we did our fantasy draft with so many of you at the Hillsborough location, Brooke waited on a majority of you that night and made friends with all of us and treated us all extremely, extremely well. All right, so let's move on now to the late afternoon games, four of them for that time slot. Seattle at San Francisco. Quickly on the Niners, I don't like anything in this game. I don't even like Carlos Hyde just because of the matchup against the Seahawks. With respect to Carlos Hyde, there's nothing here from the Niners that I would want to play. From the Seattle standpoint, J.D. McKissic might be worth considering as a DFS bargain. I don't think you're picking him up this week on waivers unless you're really, really desperate and sticking him in. But he had a high snap count against Atlanta, and there could be a lot of catch and run for someone like him against the Niners. Doug Baldwin, play him. Jimmy Graham has popped up on the injury report. Check status on him. Follow it until kickoff on Sunday. Err on the side of caution. This could be another Paul Richardson game where he gets involved. Some of you have flirted with him on waivers the last month or so, but should be a big game for Russell Wilson and maybe the Seahawks DST, although it's not the best play of the week. DST-wise. Denver and Oakland, not a lot to like here with the continued disappointing season of David Carr. I don't like Marshawn Lynch in this game. You Amari Cooper owners have probably found a place to go elsewhere. You just play him and just think, well, what else am I going to do? And you should have been more active on the waiver wire weeks ago or tried to sell off Cooper. Crabtree, maybe. But I still don't necessarily like a lot from Oakland side in this game, and how can you like anything from Denver side with the desperate move of putting in Paxton Lynch? He may make playing Thomas and Sanders, who has popped up on the injury report again, a bad move, and also the one guy who might interest me from a DFS bargain standpoint or picking him up as an extra running back if you know you're going to make the playoffs would be Devontae Booker, who was late to come back this season and get significant work because of a wrist surgery. Booker might be someone worth owning for down the road, even though he's still rotating in and out of that bad Denver offense. He just might be worth having come a playoff semifinal or a championship game, especially if you have another running back go down. Saints and Rams in Los Angeles. From the Rams standpoint, no Robert Woods. Big blow to Woods owners and to the Rams. I don't know that this helps Cooper Kupp or Sammy Watkins. I think this just hurts the Rams overall. It hurts Jared Goff. Sure, you're playing Todd Gurley. Rams are going to need Todd Gurley and a lot better effort from their defense and special teams than they got last week at the Minnesota Vikings. From the Saints standpoint, nothing new here. Ingram is playing. Kamara is playing. Michael Thomas is playing. Drew Brees, obviously, is playing. And Ted Ginn, still an interesting play as a wide receiver 2/3 or flex, because it doesn't take much for Ginn to get in the end zone. Jacksonville at Arizona. I don't like the spot for Leonard Fournette. The volume is there. But I think, you know, just because the volume is there, this feels like it might be more of a volume bad McCoy game than a volume Le'Veon Bell really productive game against the Cardinal defense. Nothing else I'm really excited about with Jacksonville from the Arizona standpoint. With Blaine Gabbert going up against the team that drafted him, it's a bad spot again for Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's matchups do get better in your fantasy playoffs. He is worth owning. Hang on to him. I think, though, Larry Fitzgerald is someone you play, even though Jacksonville has the great pass defense. Sort of similar to Fournette. The volume should be there. Just don't expect them to win you the week outright. From the Sunday night game, Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's DST is one of the big plays of the week, right there with Cincinnati's DST against the Cleveland Browns and Kansas City potentially against not so much their DST against the Buffalo Bills, but their offensive fantasy performers. But beyond Pittsburgh's DST, while the Packers' run defense is solid, Le'Veon Bell owners don't get cute. Antonio Brown poised for another big game. Hard to have a bigger game than his last one. But Juju Smith-Schuster may not go here, which puts Martavis Bryant back potentially in play. So there aren't a lot of surprises here. I guess the only surprise is that from a Green Bay standpoint, Devontae Adams is still worth playing, even though Aaron Rodgers is not quarterbacking. Same can't be said for Nelson or Cobb or any of the other pass catchers. And I told you weeks ago, for those of you jumping on Jamal Williams with Jones and Montgomery out, he wasn't going to do anything with it. And he hasn't. He's not worth playing. Monday night, we'll go ahead and mention that game. Monday night with the Texans and the Ravens. Their DST, obviously also one of the top ones this week against Tom Savage and the Texans. Really the only guy I think you play is the matchup-proof DeAndre Hopkins, and you're hoping that he makes the most of his whatever 8, 9, 10, 11 targets against a very tough Ravens defense. I don't think this is a good spot for Lamar Miller. And from the Ravens standpoint, this actually could be a decent spot for Jeremy Maclin or a Mike Wallace, probably more Maclin in season-long leagues in DFS. And Wallace as more of a DFS bargain, or if you're like me and you play the primetime bundles where you play the Sunday night game with the Monday night game or the Monday night game with the Thursday night game, Mike Wallace might be a DFS play that saves you some money to buy someone else expensive like an Antonio Brown or a DeAndre Hopkins or a Le'Veon Bell. Just looking back at the Sunday night game. From the Ravens running back perspective, the Danny Woodhead debut was eh. Does he get more volume in this game? Eh, maybe. Still nothing I'm getting overly excited about. And even though it looks like Maclin and Wallace might be worthwhile in this game, I don't think Joe Flacco necessarily is worthwhile in this game. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, if you need a second opinion on anything, trade deadline coming up, For many of you, this is the latest trade deadline. For example, offered in, say, Yahoo.com leagues. I know that's where I run my leagues and commission my leagues, and I push the trade deadline back as far as it will go. I made two trades this week. I traded for one guy, and he was on my roster for less than 24 hours, and then I flipped him with a running back for someone even better. So if you still have trade thoughts, waiver thoughts, matchup choices, send them via email to me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Every single email has been returned all season long, and that will continue through the end of your fantasy football season. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.